A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of the congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. You're welcome to join us, have teas and coffees after the service in our church hall. This week, Bill Imlay and myself are attending the Church of Scotland General Assembly in Edinburgh. We started yesterday and we will be going back for the next sessions from tomorrow till Thursday. So we are asking the congregation to pray for us while we are away. I've been asked by the youth worker to ask all those who are helping at Mercy Church this coming Saturday to remember their meeting at Agnes Duncan Room after the service. On other news, I want to intimate to the congregation, I'm sure some of you are aware, that in the course of the week, Betty Baxter, one of our church members, passed on to glory. Can I ask the congregation to kindly stand if you are able so that we observe a moment of silence? And I heard a voice from heaven say, write this. Happy are those who from now on die in the service of the Lord, for their labor will accompany them. May the souls of the faithful departed, and especially our own dear sister and mother, Betty Baxter, rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in a desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humanity, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Let us all come and sing with joy our first hymn this morning, CH4, number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, you have been present with us at the beginning. You hold in being all that now is. You will be there at the end. You matter more than anything else. You alone, therefore, are worthy of our worship. Although we know this, we have often forgotten you. We have not been watching for the signs of your activity in the world. We have not been listening for your word to our time. Even when we have seen and heard, we have not always been ready to follow and to obey. Forgive us, we pray. In the days ahead, help us to put you first in our lives. Open our eyes to see what is really happening in the world, to see what you are doing in the lives of individual people and in the lives of nations. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us so that we may know what you want us to do. Give us such trust in the power of the risen Christ that we may seek above all else to do his will. Through him who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. 531. have children in church this morning? Do you want to come out? No? That's all right. Good morning. How are you today? Good? Is the weather beautiful today? Beautiful. That's good. Have you had a nice week? Was last week good? School good? Everything good? Beautiful. I like those answers. This morning, I want to talk about goodness and especially the goodness of God. And I will begin with a very funny question. I don't know whether it's funny, but have you ever been around a garbage can? Garbage can? No. Do you have garbage cans in your home? Maybe where you put food waste. Okay. Probably I should have asked the question differently. So have you ever been around garbage? How does it feel? Smelly. Correct answer. Because when food is bad or when you put in waste, sometimes it smells. So it's not a good sight. It's not a good place to be. That's why it's called garbage or waste. Now, you know, life sometimes can, our lives can sometimes be like a garbage can. Good to see you, finally. Sometimes we have difficulties in life. Bad things happen in the world. And we are often surprised. It's like garbage, things we don't like. And sometimes we don't have much control about these things. Some of them are either inflicted on us by others, or maybe they may be natural. Take, for example, do you know about the war that is going on in Ukraine? All of us know about that war. Somebody started the war by carrying his soldiers into another country. And now all of us are suffering. Do you know how all of us are suffering? There is food shortage. We don't have enough food. There are some things that are not available because of that war. And it's not a good thing. Now, those who don't come to church, or even those who come to church, will ask that if God is really good, why are all these bad things happening in the world? Of course, we know that God is good. But should we be facing difficulties when God is a good God and should make everything good for us? It's a difficult question. And the answers are not easy. But what I want us to learn is that even though these things are happening, God still loves us and God is still good. Sometimes bad things happen because God is using them to bring something good to us. There are moments when you are not happy in the home, probably because mom or dad has refused to give you what you asked. But maybe they did not give you that thing because it will not help you very much. So it is not that they are not good, but because they want something better for you. So when we find that things are difficult, when we find problems around us, we cannot always say that God is not good. God is always good, and he wants the best for all of us. What we need to do is to continue to trust him, to pray to him, and to ask that he should always be present with us and in our lives to give us peace. So our God is good. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rest of the night and for the light of another new day. We thank you for our lives and for all that is happening around us. We know there are good days and there are bad days, but all these days belong to you. And you can use even the bad things of life to overrule them for our greater good. We pray for our children as they learn from your word each Sunday, that you would open their minds and give them understanding. May we, O Father, continue to experience the goodness that you bring to us even in the midst of our challenges. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. We will now sing that song, One More Step Along the Way I Go.
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, reading verses 7 to 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. The New Testament lesson is from Paul's letter to those of Christian faith in Rome, Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 30. "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Amen. And may the Lord bless these readings and aid our understanding of them. Our next hymn 536, "May the Mind of Christ My Saviour."
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our Father, you have given us your holy word that we may learn your truth and know your will. Give light to our understanding, we pray you, that we easily understand and know what you want us to know and to do, and fill us with grace and power to follow you always. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, think with me this morning on the theme, human suffering and God's goodness. A few years ago, I met a very lovely Christian lady who had lost her son in very surprising circumstances. The man, who was only in his early 40s, very fit and full of life, had dropped dead while taking exercise or running. His mother was so devastated that she declared God had not been kind to her family at all, and since then her faith in God has waned or even disappeared. I can understand the feeling, especially for people in this country, when their family member dies at a tender age, or even when they are old, or especially when they die at the age of 40 or 50, 60, because they are considered too young. And this is because the average life expectancy at birth in this country is 81.2 years for females, and 77.1 years for men. Despite those statistics, which I find very encouraging, Scotland is still considered as having one of the lowest life expectancies in Western Europe and the lowest of all UK constituent countries. By comparison, in Cameroon, my country of birth and where I have lived most of my life, life expectancy at birth for males is about 59, and for females, just over 60 years. If the death of a 40-year-old person in the United Kingdom means that God is not good to the family, then it is possible to believe that God does not even exist in Cameroon or in Africa, where people often die young. 2 days ago, one of my colleagues in Cameroon lost the wife. She died in her early 50s from ailments I think could easily be treated in this country: gastritis, hypertension, and diabetes. My dear Christian friends, can I suggest to you that most of the tragedies of life have been engineered by our own irresponsible handling of the things that God has entrusted to our charge. The dangerous things that we inhale or consume bring us sickness, bad roads in Africa, and reckless and drink driving elsewhere cause untimely death. And the cynical wickedness of many in power lead to death and destruction of human life and the environment. How can we simply blame God for all that we have sometimes brought on ourselves? Yet still, I too struggle with the words of Paul in Romans 8:21. During moments of hardship, confusion, and problems, what does he mean by saying, all things work together for good for those who love God? Christian people love God. That is why we come to church. We worship. We praise him because we love God. We have been called according to his purpose. And so why do bad things still happen to us? Verse 28 begins by suggesting that we know that all things work together. knowledge is power, they say. And isn't it a beautiful thing to make that acknowledgement in a confusing world where we often lack knowledge of many things? There are many things in life we don't know. Verse 26 of our text says, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. And John says in his first letter, we don't know what we are going to be like in our final destiny. As for the world around us, there is an even greater sense of uncertainty. Who would have imagined that the world would be facing such devastating economic and socio-political problems in the 21st century, partly because of the war in Ukraine? Today, the world is almost on its knees because President Putin decided to invade a sovereign state with the result of death, destruction, and economic meltdown. There is rising insecurity and food shortages. And again, the firm convictions of former generations are crumbling into dust. Many people no longer understand the world around them, and they don't know anything for sure. So what is it in this prevailing uncertainty of which we can confidently say with Paul, we know? Well, the apostle says we know that God is at work. He is actively involved in the affairs of the world because he is sovereign in all circumstances of our lives. We are not asked as children of God to resign ourselves to a fatal destiny that is beyond our control. Christians are not fatalists. God is working, and we too must fit into his sovereign plan. Well, the truth is that it might not be what we like him to do, but God is doing something. So what is he doing? We are told that he is working all things together for the good of his children. The goal of his activity is for our good. Paul does not say that God is working out all good things for the good of those who fear God. All things working together mean both good and evil. And the phrase work together is really one word, synergon in the Greek, from which our English word synergy is derived. And synergy means what happens when you put two or more elements together to form something brand new that neither could form separately. Now, that might still be confusing, isn't it? But I think the overall context of Romans 8:28 is helpful because it is one in which Paul addresses his audience to live by the power of the Spirit in the midst of pain and of suffering. Paul himself was no stranger to suffering. His several near-death experiences, beatings, imprisonments, and persecutions were enough to eradicate any misunderstanding that might have been in his heart. In the immediate context within the verse itself, Paul expresses prerequisites for the good to take place. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Dear friends, the world is sometimes so cruel, and God seems so distant. But when we read Romans 8:28 in its context, we can give a positive answer to the questions of pain and suffering. We may see nothing good coming out of misery and disaster, but this world is not all of reality. There is an until, a place beyond the horizon of what our senses can grasp, and it is more real and more lasting than what we experience in this mortal shell. God is using the present, even the miserable present, to conform us to the image of his Son. Although we may not see it now, everything will one day be seen to fit into God's perfect plan. And I think this principle is beautifully illustrated in the story of Jacob. He was reaping the harvest of his younger years. Joseph was gone. Reuben was disgraced. Judah was dishonest. Simeon and Levi had broken his heart. Dinah was defiled. Simeon, even now, was in prison. Beloved Rachel was dead. And famine threatened the family. Then came the demand from Egypt that young Benjamin must appear there before its awesome governor, before any further supplies would be released. Old Jacob wept. "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me." But he was wrong. These things and many more were secretly working to his own good, as the end of the story proved, because it was the Joseph who had been sold into slavery who saved Israel from famine. All things work together for good. But we must note that the manifestation of God's goodness in this way through tragedy and pain may be in this life or in the life to come. Therefore, if our lives are comfortable, if we have wealth and good health, that is fine and that is well. But it is not the good that Paul had in mind, and it is not the goal of the Christian life. God is busy overruling all the circumstances of our lives to our ultimate good of being like Christ. Our groaning, all the adversities that are the common lot of the people of God, are being overruled as God is at work, using them to transform us into his image and his likeness. So I ask you, dear friend, what suffering have you brought with you to church this morning? Is it a relationship that has gone sour and causes you pain? Is it parents or guardians here that your children or grandchildren are in a rebellious mood and you don't understand them any longer? Or is it some other kind of frustration or disappointment, a period of unemployment, depression, sickness, bewilderment, death, and bereavement? What is it that you are struggling with? But let me ask you a supplementary question. Have you even begun to see your pain as coming within the everything that God is working together for your good to make you like Christ? In his book, Faith in the Midst of Suffering and Evil, published sometime in 2009, Randy Alcorn talks about what happened to his friend, Ethel Hare. She had had a double mastectomy. Then 2 months later, doctors discovered that the cancer had spread. One of Ethel's friends, in shock, asked her, "And how do you feel about God now?" Ethel says, "I sought to explain what has happened in my spirit. As I sought to explain what has happened in my spirit, it all became clearer to me. God has been preparing me for this moment. He has undergirded me in ways I've never known before. He has made himself increasingly real and precious to me. He has given to me joy such as I've never known before, and I have no need to work at it. It just comes, even amidst the tears. He has taught me that he will lead me on whatever journey he chooses and will never leave me for a moment of that journey. God is good, no matter what the diagnosis or the prognosis or the fearfulness of the uncertainty of having neither, God is good. My dear friends, hope that is sin is no hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let us bow our heads in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, in the silence of this moment, we, your sinful children, bring ourselves before you. Our pain, our sickness, our desperation, all our secret sorrows. And we want to trust, O Father, that all things are working together for good in our lives because you have called us. Help us, O God, even in our difficulties, to acknowledge your presence and trust you for the greater good. We confess for times when our faith has wavered because of the circumstances around us. Help us to be strong in faith and to trust that you hold us in your hand, even in trying times. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, hymn 97. O God, you search me and you know me.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you, but we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Amen. We come before God now with our prayers of intercession, and during this prayer, we remember Jim Stephen, our oldest member of the congregation, who today celebrates his 100th birthday. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we pray for all Christians around the world, each person so different, yet each known by you. We lift the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ before you, thinking especially of those who live with persecution because of their faith in you. Where there is discord in our nation and beyond, help us to be light and healing. As Jesus was bold and confident in reaching out to others in their need, help your church to shine, to be healing hands and voices. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Father of love and hope, we bring before you all of those in despair and darkness. We pray that they may find the hope and love of Christ. Lord of life, we pray for those in fear of death, that they may find faith through the resurrection. We pray for those who have died in recent days, or whose anniversary of death falls at this time. Loving God, grant the comfort you have promised to all who mourn. Reach out and encircle them in your loving arms. For those who hurt and grieve, help us to bring comfort and hope, friendship and peace. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. God of freedom and justice, we pray for prisoners and those held captive, either those held physically due to war and unrest, or those who are trapped in situations and cycles such as debt, addiction, poor mental health, abuse, and other things that may only be known to you. For those situations in the world today where only you can make a difference, act in powerful ways. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. We pray that you would bless our dear friend Jim Stephen as we give thanks for the wonder of his life, for all the stages and seasons that he has been through, and all he contributed to our church, which included being an elder, a Sunday school teacher, playing the piano for the Sunday school, and most recently, making pancakes for Manna. May you continue to walk with him as his great guide and close friend. God of all, we know that you are a great and mighty God, and you promise to hear us when we pray. As we sit in a moment of silence, we lay before you all those people, places, and situations that are laying heavy on our hearts, and we open ourselves to hear your voice and feel your presence. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you are able now, please, may you rise so that together we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Bring our service to its close, singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, 554. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.